Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen talk radio show. My guest for this morning is the founder and creative director of My Bougie Baby, Wendy Pittman. Wendy and I will be discussing about how to dress your children for success with age-appropriate clothing and the latest back-to-school fashion featuring trendy must-have fashion wears for young girls ages 4 to 14. Good morning, Wendy. Welcome to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Johnny, and hello to all of your listeners. Thanks for having us on.
I am excited. I am looking forward to hear about all the things that you can do with mix and matching of outfits for young children and dressing
for
success. So that's really wonderful. And, of course, not to mention the latest fashion trend for this coming fall school year. Let us start by having you tell us a little bit more about yourself and walking us through your life from childhood to the present moment.
You know, but it's always hard talking about yourself, but I am a small town girl. I currently live here in the Washington, D.C. area, but I'm from a small town in central Virginia, Louisa County, and your guests may know that county now because we had that earthquake almost a year ago in a week, last August, 2011. It was the epicenter for the earthquake that went up the East Coast last summer. So more folks are now familiar with Louisa County, Virginia, because of the earthquake. But I'm from that little tiny town in central Virginia, and I was raised there by both of my parents until I was just short of school, and my parents divorced, and my mom followed other siblings and relatives to the D.C. area and raised myself and my brothers here in Maryland, just 15 minutes outside of Washington, D.C. So I still consider myself a small-town girl because Louisa County, Virginia, will always be home for me, but my base is the Washington, D.C. area, and I have a great mix of small-town and some of a city girl in me as well.
You can't talk about city Washington, D.C. now. I mean, that's huge. That's no longer a little city.
That's right. It's a nice town with a lot of stuff going on, and particularly right now with, you know, we're right on the heels of another election. So it's a very busy place right now in terms of politics.
No wonder you have to dress kids for success. I mean, you have to start off right off the gate to be successful. So that's
absolutely
wonderful.
And I think the Obamas have done a great job in setting the tone for that. I think My Bougie Baby has fit really nicely into the framework that the Obamas brought to town with two young girls, Sasha and Malia. And so I think our groundswell behind the brand has a lot to do with the fact that we have two very young girls in the White House that has a great mother that's always got them on point in terms of their presentation to the world in terms of how they dress. So what a great framework to build from.
Fantastic. So when did you discover you have this creative talent for children's fashion?
You know what, Johnny? I have to be honest in saying this. Things always stem from your childhood in terms of where you find yourself as an adult. And I can clearly remember my grandmother purchasing some really nice rider boots for me. I think it was in the most likely the late 70s, and the rider boots were, you know, the hottest crave of all young girls, middle school age, elementary to middle school age and high school. And she bought me these really nice rider boots. And much like probably you and a lot of your listeners, my parents didn't buy a lot of new clothes. Clothes were handed down to you. And so when I got these rider boots, I thought, you know, this is fantastic to add to, you know, my wardrobe simply because I could put on, you know, I got to be real honest here, high water pants and no one would know because I was the type of child that was growing up and not out. So mm-hmm. I could put on a pair of pants that were handed down that you couldn't tell were at my ankles because I had these cute, trendy rider boots on. So no
yeah.
one had a sense of, okay, what's behind those boots? Mm-hmm. But I got caught one day. One day I showed up. I think I was in the sixth grade, and we had gym this day, and I saw all these mats, you know, the whole stretch of the gym. And I said, what are we doing today? Are mm-hmm. we flipping today? I see mats. And, of course, it was gymnastics, which means no shoes on. So the boots had to come off. And when the boots came off, the high waters were exposed.
Mm-hmm.
And I will never forget the pointing, the laughing, and just feeling bad about what I had on that day because everyone knew I had high waters on.
Mm-hmm.
And that just stayed with me until my adult life. And I said to myself, you know, I'll never let this happen to my children because it was like the worst moment of my life because I didn't want to come off with those boots
mm-hmm.
because I had these high water pants on. And I think that point of pain in my life has transcended into something great in my adult life in that I've been able to take that and form a very nice brand that speaks to age appropriateness with young
mm-hmm.
girls.
That's wonderful.
So.
Wonderful story. I know when I was growing up, my mom actually sewed all of my sisters in my clothing.
Wow. See?
Yeah. She's very talented, and of course, we were not rich enough to whereby we can buy ready-made stuff, but she
exactly.
enjoys that. You see, she enjoys that, so we would go around, and she, of course, would find the latest fashion trend. We go to a pattern
yes.
shop.
Yes.
I remember picking up patterns on what looks good and what not, and she would then come home, and we'd pick the fabrics, and then she'll sew all our clothes for us.
See, that, and that's great, but my mom, of course, did not sew. So I relied very heavily on all those older cousins to pass clothes down.
Yeah.
So, you know, that year in the sixth grade and coming out of those boots and standing there with,
yeah.
you know, in my socks with high waters, I will never forget the faces of those children that morning. And but I thank them because it's helped me to get to where I am today that I can be, you know, a beacon of light for other children and parents that are, you know, in the same boat and looking for age-appropriate clothing and that sort of thing.
Right. That's true. So what is age-appropriate clothing?
I'm so glad you asked. I think age-appropriate clothing should be fun. It should be comfortable. It should be bright. And when I say bright colors are a great way for girls to wear simple cut
mm-hmm.
clothing because the focus is the color. So, you know, fun, comfortable, and bright is age-appropriate clothing. My opinion is that, you know, a lot of young girls like to look like their moms,
mm-hmm.
but women's wear does not always appropriately translate into what children should be wearing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where moms' belief and values come in into setting the standard, setting the tone in terms of what's appropriate for her young child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's very interesting because you talk about colors and you're talking about little style and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first thing that hit my mind when we were going through your information in terms of making a decision on whether wanting you to be on our show is age appropriate. Like, wow, the first thing that hit my mind was JonBenet, you know, how she was dressed up like an adult.
Yeah, and the makeup. We can't
right.
forget the makeup. That's
right.
what stands out also.
Right. And so what you focusing on is a little bit different. You're looking at colors and you're looking at different things, and of course the focus here is to make the child feel confident and successful at a very young age. So that brings me to the next question. Why is dressing children for success important?
It's important. Just think about ourselves as adults, Johnny. And I'm sure there's so many female listeners that can relate to what this next comment is going to be, but
mm-hmm.
when we're having a bad hair day or we can't quite get our outfit together for a huge event, it ruins everything.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to go to work when you can't find something that looks good to
mm-hmm.
wear, or if there's an event to go to, you don't quite feel like going if your hair is not quite right or the outfit's not fitting quite right. And children are the same way. Even though we like to think that you feel good from the inside out. Mm-hmm. I also believe you feel good from the outside in. If they look good, they feel good, and they just have confidence. Children get into colors and the way things fit and feel very early in life. So I strongly believe setting them up for success strongly is related to how they look. And, mm-hmm. and I don't mean that in a superficial vein. I simply right. mean that they're very visual at that age, with colors and patterns and that sort of thing. And if they look good, they tend to feel good, just like their grown-up counterparts. And they end up having a great day, a great right. day behind it, and a lot of confidence behind it.
I remember growing up when my mom was very critical about how we look when we go mm-hmm. out, whether to school or to just go out for the evening or to relative's place. And she was very critical in terms of making us look real good from top to bottom.
Yeah, yeah. Those were the days, and I'm very quickly trying to get us back there. Mm-hmm. You know, my brand is for that busy mom that's on the go, that, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes she can overlook some things just because nowadays we have so much on our plates with, mm-hmm. you know, home and work and life and children and that sort of thing. So I'm just trying to mainstream things, make it simple, make it turnkey for moms that are looking for age-appropriate clothing without a whole lot of time, knowing that they're going to be able to outfit their children in something very presentable.
Basically, you're accentuating the child's positive side,
exactly.
giving them the self-esteem that they want to have, so to speak.
Exactly, because perceptions are everything. We understand very quickly in this world that people build perceptions mm-hmm. and ideas and opinions mm-hmm. based on how you look before you even, you know, before there's any spoken word.
Right.
That's how people form their opinions, based on your appearance. So I'm here to assist and help with that busy mom on the go.
Wonderful. So what inspired you to create My Bougie Baby?
It was inspired by my daughter, Tiffany Ray. She is the muse behind the line. Mm-hmm. I am that busy mom on the go that ran from store to store, and I was on site to site looking for this, looking for that, just trying to really give her the overall look of appropriateness. And I thought to myself, wow, I'm running myself ragged each season trying to build her wardrobe. I need to do this myself and help other parents. Mm-hmm. And it just turned into this, you know, it was a wonderful theory that turned into a wonderful concept that now turned into what I believe a wonderful business.
Wonderful. What does bougie mean?
You know what? I love the name of the company, but bougie just simply means to me, I'm redefining the word, because we do that a lot.
Uh-huh.
As Americans, we redefine things. That's what we do. It mm-hmm. really is just accepting only the highest standards and style. It's mm-hmm. not saying that you're better. It's just simply saying give your best. Give your best in dress. Give your best in attitude. Give your best in education. And it just simply encompasses all of those things that represent giving your best. But the basis of it, because I am centered around fashion, is accepting only the highest standard in style.
Very interesting.
So that's what forms the name of my company, My Bougie Baby.
Very interesting. How is My Bougie Baby brand different from others?
It's different in this sense, Johnny, that I think we kind of touched on this a little bit, speaking about mm-hmm. our childhoods.
Mm-hmm.
I want moms to be able to make great purchases that are smartly priced, and they don't, and a lot of things are on trend. So when things are on trend, it's for that particular season. And so mm-hmm. with kids growing fast, moms may feel challenged and, well, they're only going to get one look out of this. I don't know if this is going to be applicable in the spring. But how I work with my designers is that I choose outfits that can transcend into other looks. Meaning if my Tiffany Ray is wearing a dress that she wore in the spring, but she sprouted up over the summer and she's now taller in the fall, mm-hmm. she can now wear that dress as a tunic over leggings. Mm-hmm. So I am always looking for looks that help mom get more than one look out of a particular outfit, and then trying to help her save money at the same time.
Mm-hmm. So you're basically building your style from a concept of layering.
Yes, that's how Europeans do it. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you said that. Europeans dress that way. They dress in layers, not so much on purpose as it is because of the weather. Let's take England, for instance. They don't know if they're going to wake up to rain or if it's going to be bright and sunny and warm or what it is. But I've learned that in looking at Europeans that when you're dressing children in layers, that they can also be outfitted in layers, too, to wear several different looks mm-hmm. over time.
Mm-hmm. You're making me look good here, man. I'm all of a sudden like I'm a fashion connoisseur dressing in layers and all that kind of stuff.
Because
I'm just kidding.
You're just talking clothes. we're really just talking clothes and kids. And a lot of these things are probably coming back to you because of your childhood, because of the way our parents outfitted us. I mean, I can remember having a dress that became a tunic, then became a top for me. And that's how my mom did it. And so I'm just simply taking some of those same ideals and bringing that concept into my Bougie Baby because it makes sense to me as a mom and it's going to make sense to my shoppers that you can get more than one look out of an outfit. But more importantly, if it's quality, you can pass it down. And that's what we learned as children, Johnny, growing up, that things were made well, the colors held up well in the fabrics, and you were glad to get something that your cousin wore that you thought was cool. And you can then add your own personality to it. So I'm just glad to be able to take those things that I've learned from my mother and incorporate them into my business because they make practical sense now.
Very true. Who are your contributors to the brand?
I have several. I work with three designers, two out of New York and one out of the UK. And then I have a very strong base of female friends that I stand on their shoulders. I am the head and shoulders of my Bougie Baby, but you don't see Maggie Francois, who's a designing educator here in the Washington, D.C. area. I always tease her that I'm her oldest pupil because I'm learning. I'm a student of fashion because she's been in it for years and years, and I'm learning from her all the different things that, you know, I need to know in order to build a very strong brand. One of my good girlfriend, Sonia Lowry. She is a very strong marketing and branding person. So she's been very instrumental in my color palettes of the way the brand looks and the way, you know, how do you want to present the logo and what are you trying to say to the consumer and that sort of thing. So, and then lastly, even though my husband does not fit on the team of girls, my husband has been a huge contributor to my Bougie Baby. He comes from a very strong accounting background. So he helps me to make sense of the things that I'm doing because sometimes I get super creative and I want to do this and I want to do that and I want to go here and I want to go there and I want to buy that. And he'll go, wait a minute, and he'll give me a hard stop and say, wait a minute, hold on, let's make sense of this. You know, this is the business plan. We developed the business plan to give us a guide on growth and goals. This is our budget and our financial plan. And you can't go off the rails on this because this is how we evaluate our business. So he keeps things very, very buttoned down, very tight for me. And then lastly, I can't forget the Brown family, Chris Brown, the musician, his aunt, Christine Brown. She is the mind and the brainchild behind his fan club and everything related non-label meaning the record label to him, and she has loaned tons of expertise to me to help cut that learning curve of business, because whether you're selling widgets or you're selling clothes, you still got to have that very, very sound, strong foundation, and so she's been very instrumental in helping me to avoid the pitfalls and then providing some very sound help with, you know, an online business because of his online site.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. And, of course, you do a lot on your own in terms of engaging children all around you. And one of the things that I do want to find out from you is that how has My Bougie Baby changed the lives of children that model your clothing line?
Another great question. Thank you, Johnny, for asking that. Nothing warms my heart more than when I see the difference it makes in a child that is doing print with us. That means pictures. And then they're on the runway because, you know, it can be terrifying. You've got bright lights. You really can't see that well out into the audience. But then when you get to the end of the runway, you see all these bright smiles and faces everywhere, and that can be a bit terrifying to, you know, a 4 or 5 year old. But I've seen their confidence sort of rise in them, and it's almost like when they put those clothes on, those garments on, it's like putting on their Supergirl cape. You see the light come on behind their eyes. You see the smiles come on, and they just turn into different kids. And their moms will approach me after the shows and say, you know, I just want to thank you so much, because she has so much more confidence in the classroom. She's now asking more questions. She's more vocal with class involvement. So it's all these things that moms and dads are sharing with us, that these children being on the runway, being engaged with a lot of the print work we do or the appearances that we make, that it has somehow given them a shield of confidence that they can take on the world now. So I'm really, really pleased behind that. So nothing makes me feel better than when parents approach me with those comments.
That's fantastic. And I believe this, though. I think if you look good, you feel good, and eventually
you
will do good, just plain and simple.
You absolutely do. So I am, you know, I'm just glad to be a part of all of this. And and the thing that we all forget, childhood goes very, very quickly. And I feel so privileged to be on the ground level to see, to hear the laughing, to see the smiles. I mean, I wish I could record every second of it because it's just wonderful moments with these kids. And I get to live my childhood through them all over again.
That's wonderful. Well,
I do. I do.
We have our inner child, so this gives you an opportunity to go out there and play every day, pretty much.
Absolutely, I'm cheating life.
What is the number one challenge for mothers in dressing their children?
Oh, there could be a lot. When it comes to hitting the malls, parents can run into pushy salespeople that are pushing new looks and new trends, and sometimes those new looks and new trends are not for young girls. They're more for college-age kids, young adults. So I think mom has to be careful with what's being pushed with some of the, you know, the retail stores that they go into. And then what's on display. Parents will look at what's on display. It looks simple. It looks inviting, and they buy it because the child will say, Mom, I want that. And it gets them in and out of the mall. So these are the things that they need to watch out for.
Very interesting.
Because it can be false and misleading in terms of how you dress your child. It gets you away from that appropriateness of dressing them age appropriate.
Can you give us 3 tips in choosing the right clothing for children for the various age groups? And let us start by addressing the age group 4 to 7.
Well, let me think about that a second. Okay, with a 4 to 7 year old, they tend to be in colors a lot, I think. They like characters. They like print. And I find that kids that age, they have a favorite something, a favorite pair of shoes they adore, or, you know, a favorite top that they really like. Stick with the things that they like in their color scheme, with their characters, and with their print. And I think you can keep them happy with those 3 simple things. Stay with the colors they like. Then you can still choose the clothes without a whole lot of pushback. Stay with the characters they like, and stay with the prints they like. I think that's what I would say about the 4 to 7 year olds.
Very interesting. How about age 8 to 11?
Ooh, 8 to 11. I would think, Johnny, this is the age that these girls start shopping with their moms. So they're going shopping with their mom. They start choosing their own clothing. This is going to be a great time to point out what is okay, what isn't okay based on your own beliefs, and help them understand what the boundaries are. So mom really needs to set boundaries at that 8 to 11 years of age. I would say boundaries. Mm-hmm. Very, very important.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And then finally, 12 to 14.
Oh, it gets tougher. I think this is when they begin to really gain personality and want to do everything on their own. And I think it's okay to still, and I'm not bashing parents because I'm a parent too, but it's okay to say no. This is the age where you got to stand up and say no, I believe, to that 12 to 14, because if you don't give a hard stop to what they're either putting into the shopping cart online or mm-hmm. what they're putting on the counter when they're at the mall, I think if you're not putting up a hard stop, you're going to really, really set them up for, you know, hard times and choosing appropriate mm-hmm. clothing based on their age moving forward as well.
I see. Is dressing your child for success with age-appropriate clothing affordable for everyone?
I think it is. It absolutely is, because I think you can still mix and match a lot of different looks that speak to your personality. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that has to be designer name brand clothing. I think that you can still find a lot of great affordable clothing, mybougiebaby.com, of course, mm-hmm. and still come out with some really great looks and it not be hard on the pocketbook.
Interesting. How about peer pressure, though? Because a lot of kids, regarding whatever age group they're in, once they start seeing others dress up in a certain way, then they feel left out.
You know what? Give them, Johnny, give them simple things like, you know, if it's a cute messenger bag, like learn to meet them halfway. So mm-hmm. you may not be going for the hip-hugging jeans that exposes a little bit of the tummy or some sort of graphic tee that has something on it that's completely inappropriate. Mm-hmm. But feel okay in giving in on a really cute messenger bag that's still trendy.
Mm-hmm.
Feel okay in giving in on, you know, some very cute accessories, you know, some bangled bracelets or some cute earrings. So I think it's all based on compromise as well. It can't all be no, 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 no.
Mm-hmm.
I think mom and dad both can do the research, find out, or just simply ask, you know, what do you like? What are the other kids wearing? And mm-hmm. still emphasize the fact of what their expectations are, but give in a little bit on those things that are not harmful. A cute shoulder bag, nice bangled bracelets, cute earrings, you know, a very trendy hat, nice scarf, those sort of things, because they're harmless. And then the child feels like, okay, mom and dad are meeting me halfway, so I'm still cute with my great hat and my nice scarf and my cool jacket or my nice messenger bag. So those are the things that you can almost trick them with, because they feel like, okay, I just got mom to say yes to this, this, and this. But she has on appropriate jeans. She has on an appropriate top, but she still feels like she's won the battle against mom and dad because she's wearing mm-hmm. her cute hat with a cute scarf, bangled mm-hmm. bracelets, and a messenger bag is hanging on her hip. So that's my advice there.
That's very interesting, though, because you are approaching it from a standpoint where you stand your ground on the actual fashion clothing, mm-hmm. but at the same time, you can accessorize the child to still make the child blend in.
Exactly. You can accessorize the child and still speak their language, because these are times when we're not speaking the same language, and I believe you can still speak the same language just by using accessories, because they feel like you're meeting them halfway,
mm-hmm.
when
mm-hmm.
in fact you're still winning as the parent.
That brings us to, what are some of the traps that parents get themselves into when choosing age-appropriate clothing for their loved ones?
Well, it goes back to what I spoke to earlier. It is, mm-hmm. if you're going to the mall and you're turning them loose and letting them make all of these decisions on their own, you're going to have, you know, very young sales people in these stores that are going to pull all the things off of the rack that are eye-catching. But they don't necessarily, what you may put on a 20-year-old college student is not what you'd want to put on a 10-year-old girl. So I think it's still very important that parents are very engaged, very plugged in when their young girls are hitting the hallways of the malls and going into stores, that you still keep them focused on the things that are appropriate. Here's what you can do. Here's what you can't do. But here's where mom and dad will meet you halfway. This is what you can buy. So I just think it's just reemphasizing some of this same messaging.
When does makeup come into play?
You know what? That's always a very personal thing because it depends on how soon mom was wearing makeup as a kid.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
For my Tiffany Ray, I think their skin is so beautiful when they're young. They don't need anything on but, you know, mm-hmm. lip gloss at most. And
yeah.
So I'm already – here's another setup. I tell my Tiffany Ray all the time, oh, your skin is so beautiful. So beautiful. I wish I could have your skin. And I tell her that over and over and over again.
Yeah.
She goes, Mommy, why do you have to wear makeup? I said, because when you get older – you just don't have that great young skin, and so mommy has to put on makeup. So I just make it my business to always tell my daughter how pretty she is,
mm-hmm.
and gosh, how lucky you are. You don't have to wear makeup. All you need is a little lip gloss, and gosh, I wish I could have skin like yours. So I think it starts very, very early with training and conditioning them that it's not necessary because you're already so beautiful without it. So why would you need makeup? So I don't see my Tiffany Ray coming to me for makeup until her very late teens because I make it my business to always tell her how pretty she is, how mm-hmm. beautiful her skin is, and how it glows, and you're so lucky you don't have to put anything on. Look at mommy, I've got to put this on and that on. You have beautiful, lush, long lashes, and
mm-hmm.
you have, you know, glowing skin. And so I think it just goes back to always telling them and repeating it over and over and over how beautiful they are, and then they're not looking to cover anything up.
Very interesting approach. And at the same time, what I notice is that when you start doing that, you're reinforcing their self-esteem in so many ways about thinking how good they are, because these are the things that nowadays, if the kids don't feel good about themselves, then they're going downhill from then on.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it goes very quickly, very,
mm-hmm.
very quickly.
Very interesting.
Great question.
How about boys now? I know that you're not addressing any issues for boys. Are they easier to dress with? Or, you know, like I remember like mine was very simple, black slacks, black shorts, black socks. That's the easy thing. Whereas the women are a little bit, well, the girls, I guess, in this case, are a little bit more difficult.
Here's what I love about boys, and you all keep this all the way into manhood. You
uh-huh.
all are the most simple creatures on the planet. So it does not take much. My oldest is 19,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't hard to please him at all. I mean, I could stay very basic. The things that were important to him were his baseball caps, his hat. His hat, and then the hat later transcended into, you know, what type of sneaker. But
right.
it was never any pushback on the clothing side of things.
Yeah.
The more simple I kept it raising a boy, the less hassle I had. And if I'm going to add this and add that, and, you know, if I add a vest to a pair of khakis, over, you know, he didn't want all that extra stuff. So I learned very early when you're raising a boy, simple is best. You guys don't change. The way they are as little 3-year-old boys are the way they are as 40-year-old men. Simple is the way to go with boys. Absolutely. That's my experience with boys. Keep it simple. They don't even want accessories. Keep it really simple. And the importance is based on a simple baseball cap, their favorite hat,
yeah.
and their favorite pair of shoes. And
mm-hmm.
nothing in between their head and their feet matters as it relates to clothing.
I understand that. Very interesting. I don't know if this is a situation in D.C. or in the Virginia area, but certainly in Dallas recently here, it's been even taken up by some local politicians about young boys dressing up with those jeans that kind of hang way down.
Oh.
It shows off the underwear. I forgot
that
what
that is. That's a fashion faux pas.
Yeah. So talk to us a little bit about that. How does that, you know, in some ways affect the child themselves when they grow up in terms of attitude and self-esteem and so forth?
You know what? I've really got to speak to my son and
mm-hmm.
watching my husband raise him. I just remember Eric always working with Chris on keeping his back straight. You know, I don't know, and being firm with the way you shake another man's hand and looking folks in the eye. And I remember, you know, simple things like Eric teaching Chris how to, you know, tie a tie. What does a great belt look like? And I think that dads aren't able to provide that input as they have in the past, or maybe some of those things that my husband, you know, pulled from his childhood, from his dad, and then gave that to our son. But I think that it still goes back to busy, busy parents. I think we're doing a lot. We're you know, working multiple jobs, making ends meet. And I think that kids are really empowered with their look and their appearance more than ever. And it's of no fault really to the mom. I just think that if everyone's on overload and they can't get back to some of the basic things that you need to instill in your children about what's presentable. Because you walking down the street with your pants hanging off of your bottom, number one, it's going to mess up your gait. Have you ever seen any of these kids walk? They can't walk straight. They can't run straight. And that's got to be causing some hip problems, or much later they're going to have bad hips, because you're supposed to have a nice strong gait, and they're taking these very short primal sort of steps when they walk, and that's just not, that's it's just wrong. So I just think it has to get back to dads getting involved, or mentors getting involved and saying, look, you know, it's nothing wrong with, you can still be the cool guy, but you can pull your pants up. You know, how disrespectful is it that other folks are looking at your undergarments? So I think we can certainly change this with the involvement of dads, certainly change this with the involvement of very strong mentors, and let's just keep our fingers crossed it doesn't hang around much longer.
I thought I had to bring that up.
I'm praying for that anyway. Oh, my gosh. So.
I thought I have to bring that up simply because the fact that how you dress affects your attitude, affects the way you think. And
absolutely.
So as a young child, they are actually developing their personality, their traits, their personal attributes for the future. And so if you start off right, then they will eventually, you know, get there. But if they start off wrong, and then they are off in a tangent somewhere. I hope that makes sense, what I'm trying to say here.
It absolutely makes sense. And I mean, and then the other thing, when you see them running, they are running and holding their pants up at the same time. I mean, do you want to be 30 still holding your pants up? I don't know. I just hope we run away from this very quickly. But here's how I do my part in it. If I see a young kid and his pants are hanging, I don't even speak any words. I just grab at my side and kind of do a yank, like, pull up your pants, and then give him a thumbs up, like, you know, here's a lady saying, come on now, get it right, pull your pants up. But I'm not speaking any words. I'm just simply grabbing at my side and giving myself a yank, and if they, you know, I haven't had one kid not do it, and I give them a thumbs up and say, good job.
What's interesting, though, there is a movement here. There's some young ladies that got together. These are college girls that would compliment the boy that has this pants like that. However, they would not go out with these boys.
No. You have to punish them.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting, you know.
You don't get to go out with the good girls dressed like that. I'm sorry. Pull your pants up.
Very interesting. Well,
it makes you look smart. Even if you're not smart, you can fool everybody to think you're smart.
That's true. Very, very true. Currently, many parents are buying children's clothing online. What are some of the things they need to watch out for when purchasing online?
You know what? I call it, Johnny, the three Fs. Fit, feel, and familiar. You have to make certain that you understand the brand that you're buying, that, okay, I know this brand that I'm buying tends to fit a little on the small side, or this brand that I'm purchasing tends to fit a little on the larger side. So if you understand fit, you're going to keep yourself out of trouble by sticking with the brands that you know. Feel. Children like clothes just like adults. They feel well. So understanding the fit, understanding the feel, and making yourself familiar with what you're buying, the three F's to success, fit, feel, and familiar when you're purchasing online. So stick with what you know. Stick with the brands that you know. Stick with the retailers that you know. And you can grow with them.
Fantastic. What is the latest fashion and color trend for this fall?
Oh, we've got lots and lots of stuff going on. The big colors for this season are cool colors like blues and purples. You may even see a lot of plum on the runway this fall. And gold, browns, earth tones. As I said, shades of plum. You'll see shades of pink on the runway this year. A lot of tribal plaids and floral prints and even animal prints. Something about animal prints just never go out of style. But those are a lot of the prints that you can expect to see. And with regard to back to school, I mean, you probably see a lot of kids with, in terms of accessories, really cute bangles, lots of silver bracelets, flowered headbands. In terms of shoes, you'll see leather boots, bright sneakers. I think the kids call them creeps. They kind of, that elevated sort of sneaker that they're wearing, you'll probably see a lot of that. You'll also see a lot of patent leather flats as well. Lots of great stuff. Stripes, sometime combined, that's another trend that kind of hangs around. For younger children, you'll probably see a lot more embellishments, you know, things with sequins or cute little bows and those sort of things for kids. Probably lots of forms of knits. You'll probably see a lot of knits this year. Super skinny jeans are here to stay for a while. Sleeveless blazers, and then your leather bombers. MyBougieBaby.com has a leather-like bomber that's quite popular, and I like it because you can wear it with so many different looks. You can wear it over a cute dress, or you can wear it with you know, a nice legging and tunic, or you can wear it with jeans. So these are some of the looks that you're going to see kids with and going back to school.
Very interesting.
Hope I didn't put out too much, but for mom
and dad.
No,
not at all.
Yeah, lots of great stuff is going to be available this season. So I'm excited, and I'm excited for what we have in the line this year that fits some of the descriptions that I described.
Fantastic. And, of course, the number one challenge is, again, the affordability about being able to dress appropriately and look good and feel good on a budget. So are there still an issue with that in terms of, you know, being able to find the right fit for the right price?
And remember I said earlier, bright colors are a great way for girls to wear simple cut clothing. You can take simple cut clothing and add accessories to it. And accessories can completely change the outfit. You have a scarf on, you have a scarf off. Maybe you're layering with, you know, some cute bangles or some really cute boots, or you're in, you know, the creep sneaker in a neon color. So lots of different things that you can change outfits into multiple looks, and that's what I like about this season.
Now, you've been doing this for a while in terms of fashion and so forth. Are there certain clothing that really go through the test of times where they're still in every year, in and out, and of course at the same time grow with the child as well, because you can wear it when you're certainly up to a certain age, but like say from 12 to 14, you can wear it for 2 to 3 years?
Oh, absolutely. That's why I said that the skinny jeans, I think, are here to stay. Mom just needs, again, to make sure that they're appropriate for the body type and size of her young child. So skinny jeans are here to stay. The leather or leather-like bombers are definitely here to stay. Bright colors are always here to stay. So you can never go wrong with some of those really simple things for kids. And still stay within your budget and still stay within the concept of keeping your child age appropriate.
Interesting. Does My Bougie Baby offer any special promotions for parents for this upcoming school year?
Oh, thank you for asking. We have a promo that's currently running, and it's S as in Sam, M as in Mary, R as in Robert, 2012. So SMR 2012. And that promo code will give you 40% off almost all items on the site. The only items not on sale is we just introduced two very fabulous tees, one for young girls and then one for moms. And the mom's tee slightly tears off the shoulder. And then on the back, it's in support of breast cancer, more specifically the Tiger Lily Foundation. That's an organization based out of Washington, D.C. That's a national organization that we're going to give a portion of the proceeds back to. But that is I Got Your Back T-shirt for moms, and there is the breast cancer ribbon, and then the words that say I Got Your Back on the back shoulder blade of mom's T-shirt. So those T-shirts are smartly priced and available. They are not on sale. The children's T-shirt is $18. The adult T-shirt is $24. Again, smartly priced, but those are not a part of the 40% promo, whereas everything else is.
Right.
So it's a great time to shop for. I always, when I would shop for my Tiffany Ray during this time, buy ahead. So it's sometimes very difficult for us as adults. Like if someone says, can you, when the retailer puts out, you know, the summer, I mean, the spring and summer fashions for 2013, can you start buying as early as October? Some folks can't think and focus that way, but I'm asking mom and dad to change how you feel and think about shopping and plan ahead. These are the times in which you get the best buys for the next season. So you could go onto our website at mybougiebaby.com and make some of those purchases for next year, spring, summer, now, and get all that cost difference and save.
Basically, being an early bird pays.
Yes. Absolutely. And I learned that a little late as a mom, but I am certainly sharing that wisdom with other moms now that, you know, think ahead, plan ahead.
Yeah.
If your child is wearing, and you tend to know how fast they grow, if they're in the fall wearing a size, you know, 8-10, go ahead and make some purchases now in size 12 from the summer line that's now on sale, and you can save that money and use it towards something else.
Very interesting. I know you mentioned this before, but where can someone go to get more information about you and your company?
Oh, absolutely. I'm glad you asked that question. You can find us at mybougie, B-O-U-G-I-E, baby.com. Again, mybougie, baby.com. You can find us on Facebook, My Bougie Baby, B-O-U-G-I-E, baby.com. You can also find us on Twitter, which is My Bougie Baby and the number 2 on Twitter. So you can follow us on Twitter. Keep up with us. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love communicating with folks. You know, how can we get better? Any ideas, any suggestions, or just to say hello to us. And then you can find me on Facebook at Wendy Pittman, P as in Paul, I-T-T-M-A-N.
Wonderful. How has My Bougie Baby impacted you personally?
It has done so many. You speak about all the wonderful things it's done for the children. It's been a huge boost of confidence for me because you see other folks build successful businesses, and there's no roadmap. You get some of the basic principles on the things that you need, but I think what it's done most for me, it's allowed me to have a dream, see it into fruition, and make it happen. I'm just proud of the fact that I got over that fear. I think the biggest thing as an adult that keeps you from doing something that you want to do is the fear factor, and I think I have overcome the fear factor because I'm like, wow, of course I've had tons of help, but I built a business. I did this. And I look back on myself and go, is that me? How did I do this? And it just seems to happen so quickly. And you're like, okay, this is really happening. This is really coming true. But I think the biggest thing, again, Johnny, is that, you know, seeing a dream come true. And you hear, and when you're a kid growing up and your teachers tell you all the time, dream big, dream. And I didn't get that. I mean, I really didn't. You hear it. But now I live it and I know it, and then my confidence in what I've done, I can share with my children, and then I can share with other children that you really can. I didn't get this right until I was a grown-up is what I could say to kids. Don't ever let anyone steal your dreams. keep dreaming. They turn into something. I'm living proof of that. So that's what I've learned the most in building my Bougie Baby. So I'm really, you know, I get excited just thinking about it. You probably can't hear it in my voice. I did it.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. That's a wonderful story.
You.
That's a wonderful story. Please tell us about some of the various things that you do in terms of charitable organizations that you're involved with. I know you personally have been involved with several charities as well as your company. And it's great of you to do that because not many people go the extra mile to really make a positive impact in our society these days. So tell us a little bit more about the various charities that you're involved
with. I absolutely will. I consider this led by heart. There are three things that are very, very near and dear to my heart. Children, hunger, and then kidney disease. And I'll start with children, of course. I'm the vice president of a 501c3 here that's based here in Washington, D.C., called Courage for Kids. Mm-hmm. And as the vice president, we create, we find, and we support funding for any inner-city youth. So we send these kids back ready for school with a backpack filled with supplies. Mm-hmm. So that organization, again, is near and dear to my heart. It allows me to give in a different way to children and get them prepared and get them ready for the first day of school. And then I'm also the chair for the Resource Advisory Committee for United Communities Against Poverty, UCAP. This organization is the official community action committee for the county in which I live in Maryland. Mm-hmm. And they do a lot of advocating for women and children facing deficiencies in education, affordable housing, economic stability, and then just adequate health care. So that's what I spend a lot of my time with those folks. And then lastly, just to give your listeners just a cue into who Wendy Pittman is, in 2005, my husband, Eric, was in end-stage renal failure, and we found ourselves sitting with his doctor saying, okay, you've got to go on dialysis. And I quickly, you know, went to the edge of my chair and said, no, I want to donate. And in on September 1, 2005, we'll celebrate 7 years this year, I donated my kidney to my husband. So I like to do a lot of things around awareness just to let people know that they can be living tissue donors, and if they're not comfortable with that, you can always, you know, God forbid if something happens to you on one of the interstates or highways, you can also give permission to donate. So those are the three things that I'm solidly involved with and passionate about. And on our website, if you'd like to give to any of those organizations in which I'm involved with, it's on our website.
Fantastic. Thank you for sharing. By the way, we're coming close to the end of the show. Do you have a recipe for living you would like to share with our listeners this morning?
I do, Johnny. Thank you for asking. My grandmother always told me to have a tender heart. Always assume that people have the best of intentions. And I think when you have a tender heart and you assume that people have the best of intentions, it keeps you from it keeps you out of trouble, and it keeps you in love with people. So that's what Gracie Brooks shared with me, having a tender heart. And I always want to have a tender heart. I always want to be who I am. I still want to be that little girl from Louisa County. And I don't want to forget the things, the love and the lessons taught by my grandmother, Gracie Brooks.
And you have always lived with that principle?
I've always lived with that principle. Always lived with that.
Fantastic. That's a wonderful recipe for living. What can we expect from you during the second half of this year?
Oh, wonderful things. We will be launching our fall line in September. So please come back and shop more with us in September for the fall looks. And then we have a number of great events that we are taking part of, one of which will be here in Washington, D.C., which will be the fourth annual Fashion and Beauty Lifestyle Expo with the CW50. And then we're going to be in Dallas with Baby Bash and Bling at the top of November. So please, if you would, take a look for your listeners that are in the Dallas area. Take a look at Baby Bash and Bling, wonderful organization centered around expecting and new moms and all of the wonderful trends and products and services that come with helping mom during those times. So, yeah, real excited.
Fantastic. Any final thoughts about dressing your children for success?
Johnny, I'll say this and say this over again. We are in charge. We are the parents. Our children follow our leads in what we do. If mom is appropriately dressed and appropriately giving messages to the child in terms of what her expectations are, they will follow. Nobody means more to a child than mom and dad. They may pretend like they're not listening, but their universe is their mom and their dad. So take advantage of that while you have their ear.
How much feedback have you got from the people that you're coming into contact with the success of your business?
Moms have been extremely, extremely excited and saying that, you know, what a great concept. I never thought that, you know, something as simple as, you know, what a T-shirt is saying and how that message may be perceived on my child's back or just different things of that nature. But I feel like moms are excited about us. Moms are behind the brand. And I just think, again, going back to the Obama girls, I think that I've hit this market at the right time because of those little girls in the White House and what Michelle is doing with them. And each and every time we see them, they fit the standard of appropriateness, and I'm able to benefit from that. And I'm blessed. I'm thankful.
And I think, isn't that a very challenging thing to do, especially in today's world with the internet, with the various role models from the celebrities that are kind of go off in a tangent somewhere, and it's very, very difficult to kind of get the children to be grounded in so many ways.
Oh yeah, we as parents have a really tough job, really, really tough job nowadays. But stay close to your children. Let them know that you're watching, you care, they matter, their choices matter to you. And I'm guilty of that too. My life is sped up and extremely busy, but I have to slow myself down to make certain that I'm paying attention and that I'm engaged and I'm present at all levels with my children. And I think that goes a long ways.
You hit the right note. Being present in the present moment, I think, is the most important
thing. Yeah, you have to be present. You can't be messing with the iPhone and talking to them at the same time. So I had to learn to put the iPhone down and listen. Listen to what they're saying to you, not plucking on the phone and giving an answer. So these are things that I've learned. Learned the hard way.
Fantastic. Well, Wendy, thank you again for the wonderful recipe for living that you have shared with us earlier and for spending this hour with me on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. To all our listeners, thank you for being with us. Please join me next Tuesday morning. My guest will be award-winning journalist and author Peter Golden. Peter and I will be discussing about his latest novel titled Come Back Love. The book is about first loves and second chances. For additional information about this show and future shows, please go to FromMyMamasKitchen.com. Thank you for listening and have a great week. Wendy, thank you again and have a great day.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.